Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lab podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Lewis Hamilton wins the Mexican GP while Ferrari fails to convert another 1-2 in the race. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Virgo. Hello everyone to episode 165 of the Fastest Lap podcast. I think we talked about a Ferrari 1-2 and how they were not able to convert it into a win in Russia in our Russian GP episode. And it didn't go well in Mexico either. The race was kind of dominated by strategy anyway, as following another car was very, very difficult. You really needed to have a big pace advantage to get close enough to overtake with DRS, although they added another DRS zone for that race in particular. In what moment, Fergal, during the race, did you realize that Ferrari dropped the ball again?
Well, I think that's a bit unfair to say that it went like that. I mean, simply, I think they had...
it was a description of facts. I didn't blame them as such, or did I? I mean, they didn't convert it.
Yeah, but I don't think that was largely their fault. I think, you know, the cars are just so difficult to follow each other when they're that close. It's, yeah, a real shame because it was kind of clear that Vettel was the faster car, the faster driver, but, yeah, he just couldn't close up. You know, that final bit when he got close behind Hamilton, so... you could argue that it was a strategic error from Ferrari because they didn't win the race, but at the time when they made the call, it seemed like the sensible call, and it probably was the correct call, but, you know, the cars are just so difficult to follow that, you just can't overtake, Hamilton, of course, did an exceptional job on his tires, getting them that far. But it was a shame for Ferrari. I think, you know, they've had pole position of the last how many races? Every race since the summer break. Since the return of the summer break. The last three races they haven't converted it into a race win. So. You need to obviously do something a bit different and have a different way of thinking in the last three races of the year to make sure that they go back to winning races again.
Yeah, and maybe going back a little bit in time to the start of the Mexican GP, how did you see that situation? Before we come to Verstappen and Hamilton, I want to talk about that squeeze that Vettel did on Lewis Hamilton while Hamilton was, he had one tire, maybe his front wing alongside Vettel, and Vettel obviously wanted to get into the slipstream of Leclerc, and of course Ferrari didn't do another kind of orchestrated slipstream move where Leclerc basically gives a slipstream to Vettel. Vettel follows him, and both Ferraris come out ahead. We know how well that worked in Russia. So Leclerc stayed on this line, basically gave the slipstream a little bit to Hamilton. Vettel tried to get into that gap, and in my opinion, that was really, really hard from Vettel. Hamilton had to get... He basically... I don't know whether he had to put on the brakes, but he had to lift substantially, and... I mean, we know that the stewards don't hand out penalties that easy, and we know it's a start situation, and I'm happy that they didn't hand out a penalty, I have to say that, but still, I thought it was really, really hard.
Yeah, it was hard racing. Not that much in it, to be honest, I don't think. It was a bit of a squeeze, but, nothing that serious, in my opinion.
So... was the incident between Hamilton and Verstappen more serious?
No. There was
I agree.
Nothing in that at all. They both just got oversteer And
oh, come on, we need to talk about something interesting. Let's make it well, something.
Well, if
major.
We want to talk about something interesting while we're on the subject of Verstappen, we can go back to qualifying.
Oh God, yeah.
And talk about that because, yeah, of course, Verstappen, quite unexpectedly, actually, from my side anyway, I didn't expect Red Bull to be, well, certainly not in the fight for a pole position anyway, in Mexico. It they've been pretty quick there in races in recent years, but Ferrari have been just pretty dominant, and yeah, Verstappen did a great job in qualifying on his first lap to get that top spot. But then, yeah, we had that big crash from Valtteri Bottas on his last lap, which brought out a single yellow flag by the time that Verstappen came round, and yeah, he just didn't lift and kept it on his lap, and got penalized for it. What did you think of that?
Well, first of all, when I saw it, I was like, how stupid can you be? I mean, why would you risk it? You knew that you had like a good lap in the bank. I don't know, probably he wouldn't have known that he still had pole position. I don't think the engineer talks to a driver during the qualifying lap. Of course, it was easier for us seeing the timetable, knowing that he still was on pole. So yeah, that was my first reaction. Second reaction was really a bit, well, I wouldn't say angry, but disbelief maybe. I was like, why doesn't he respect he didn't respect the yellow flag, of course, that's for sure. And of course, it brought back memories of Nico Rosberg in 2016, I think it was, in Hungary, where he got pole position while doing a lap on a trying track, obviously, back then, lifting a bit in yellow flags, and yeah, then securing pole position. And I don't know, from a security, from a safety perspective, I have to say, I don't like seeing drivers just lifting off a bit and still doing personal bests or just one tenth or so off the best sector. In my opinion, if there is a yellow flag for whatever reason, a car spun, something on the track, debris on the track, I think there is more necessary than just lifting off the throttle for one tenth. So I was kind of happy to see a harsh penalty for that, not only deleting that time but getting three places as a penalty on the grid. And I hope that kind of sets an example, but I fear that still, if you had lifted just for one or two tenths, as I think Vettel or Hamilton did,
well,
I think they will do that anyways.
I don't understand what you mean by setting an example. I thought it was always pretty clear that if you improve under yellow flags, you're going to get penalized. And Vettel completely backed off. If you see his onboard, he got out of the lap completely. He didn't just take, you know, lift off a small bit. He completely abandoned the lap. And plus, that is at the final corner, so it's not like you have a lot of track to make up time, because you know you really only have a few meters. Hamilton, of course, Hamilton didn't get penalised because there was no yellow flag, as per the rules. I think we've seen that before at some stage during the year, maybe it was last season, I can't remember. And yeah, Verstappen, I think Verstappen didn't see the yellow flag, because it was kind of not where he was looking, and it was literally only the one singular flag that was flying at that stage. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, though, he still did break the regulations, and it was a justified penalty, in my opinion. But
didn't you think that he saw the accident or the stranded car?
Yeah, sure, but I mean, Hamilton definitely saw it, and I don't think he backed off at all. So
just as bad.
Well, if you want to tell a Formula One driver not to improve, you know, where they still could probably improve, then, you know, go right ahead. But I don't think you're going to get much response out of them from that. If there's a yellow flag there, that's what tells them to slow down, not another car stranded on the side of the track. It was a justified penalty. Probably wouldn't have made much of a difference anyway, because I think even if he had started from pole position, he still would, Verstappen still would have found himself behind the Ferraris after or before turn one. Yeah, it was a pretty justified penalty.
And it didn't go the weekend did not develop in a much better direction for Verstappen after that, after getting that grid penalty. He had this little incident with Hamilton we talked about earlier, where both cars, I think, lost a little bit of rear or of grip on the rear. And yeah, I don't know, it was a bit of a strange situation with both cars sliding around, going onto the grass. But the major setback for Verstappen obviously was that move on Valtteri Bottas, where, well, Bottas clipped his rear tire with his front wing. In my opinion, it was really unfortunate. Of course, it wasn't a place where you usually overtake, but we know Verstappen for that quality. I don't think it was unfair. It was just, it wasn't Verstappen's, and well, you could argue it wasn't Red Bull's day on the Sunday in Mexico, because also Alex Albon, maybe we can talk a little bit about him. I thought I was really happy for him, seeing him in P3 yep. after that first turn, and he was able to keep up the pace, although you must say, or you would guess, that Ferrari controlled the pace a little bit. They didn't go all in, they saved the tires, so maybe it was a bit easier to stick with them. Still, he managed to do it. But then again, I don't know what it was, whether it was his strategy and the tires he went on, because it seemed like when he went on the other set of the medium tire, his pace suddenly disappeared completely. And I don't know exactly what happened in the latter stages of the race, but yeah, the gap to the front runners it was pretty big. And also, I think Verstappen ended up only, I don't know, 30 seconds behind him or something. So yeah, second half of the race wasn't as good as the first one.
Okay, there's a few things there. I want to go back to, because I didn't give my opinion on the whole Verstappen Bottas thing, because I want to mention that. I think Verstappen was completely justified in going for that move, and I think he made the move stick. I think Bottas turned into him, to be honest. I mean, Bottas, of course, was surprised to see Verstappen there, but it's not like Verstappen overshot the corner. He made the corner fine. And then contact was made, so yeah, I'm leaning more towards Bottas at fault, but I wouldn't say he's, it's not like he did a thing intentionally, or it was just very unfortunate for Verstappen, and Bottas was very lucky not to get any damage from that himself. For Albon, yeah, actually it was a great race from Albon. The gap actually at the end was like, it was not 30 seconds, it was like closer to 50 seconds between the two of them at the end. I think it was like 46 or 47 seconds between Albon and Verstappen, and Albon, of course, made a extra pit stop over Verstappen. His pace at the start of the race was good. Ferrari's obviously probably controlling the pace a little bit, but he kept in there. He made an early stop, and when he came out, he actually came out behind Carlos Sainz at the worst possible spot where he couldn't overtake, and he lost a lot of time. I think he said he lost something like 6 seconds behind Sainz in that one lap where there was no opportunity to overtake. So yeah, that was unfortunate for him. I think Leclerc was a little bit faster in the middle stint, but he didn't, his pace wasn't terrible. He dropped back a little bit after he got past signs, but it wasn't awful. And then his pace at the end was actually, he was matching pretty much Leclerc's pace at the end. He wasn't that far off Leclerc when he was catching Bottas and Vettel, but obviously the gap at that stage was just too big between Albon and Leclerc for him to do it, or for him to close in on the top three. So it was definitely his best race for Red Bull since he's joined. And I mean, we need to remember that it's only his first season in Formula One. I mean, and he only drove a Formula One car for the first time earlier this year. You know, it's still a huge step that he's made and that he's still learning.
And his fifth, sixth, seventh race for Red Bull.
I mean, it's still very, very early stages. I personally think he's doing enough to secure that seat for next year. I think if he keeps performances like he's done up to now, I mean, well, he's finished in the top six every race, hasn't he?
Since
he joined Red Bull, which is, you got to say, more than Gasly did. Top six every race at least. Three P5 finishes, and a fourth place at Japan. So, I mean, he's doing.
And you can bring up that useless statistic saying that he outscored Verstappen in that time.
Yeah, but I mean, Verstappen got himself into those difficulties at Belgium, and well, I guess Italy wasn't really his fault. Mexico, whatever. But he's not doing a terrible job at all, far from it. I think he's actually doing a great job scoring the points while he's still learning an awful lot. So I think he's doing a fantastic job, and he had a great race in Mexico, and I think he should be praised for that. Also, just while we're on the subject of Red Bull, Verstappen, like, his race, genuinely, his, like, to get to P6, I think he was 66 laps on those hard tires. I mean, we praise Hamilton for his tire management in that race, but Verstappen's tire management, like, 66 laps is, yeah, amazing on those tires. He didn't finish that far ahead of Perez and Ricardo, but good. I feel like I've been praising Verstappen an awful lot this episode in a weekend that was quite controversial from him, but I think he did a pretty good job in the circumstances. But yeah, obviously, I guess that whole qualifying thing of missing the yellow flag overshadowed everything else, I guess.
Actually, I would be quite interested in knowing how big the gap between the leader and Verstappen was after he basically pitted on lap, I don't know what it was, where he had the puncture, and how big the gap was after the after the race finished.
Well,
I don't know.
After the race, I don't know what it was when he pitted, but after the finish, it was 68 seconds between Verstappen and Hamilton.
So I guess that it was bigger. It was bigger.
Yeah, definitely.
Great job, as you said, from him to bring those tires over the distance, finishing P6, overtaking many cars on a track where overtaking wasn't that easy. But also, you have to say, you have to praise Sergio Perez in P7, best of the rest in a racing point that, well, maybe isn't best of the rest. And yeah, what a race for him, as he is a local hero in Mexico. And also, I was really happy for him to see him finish the race in P7, fending off Daniel Ricciardo, who sent it, of course, with that one move into turn one that didn't work out. Maybe that move didn't work out, as Ricciardo didn't have some kind of brake bias adjustment tool available that we talked about in the last episode, where, well, now the news is out that Renault got disqualified from Japan, as the FIA deemed the system they used, well, technically not illegal in a technical term, but it was deemed as a driver aid because, well, the driver didn't have to switch brake bias positions, the car did it automatically. I think it was a quite clever system, but obviously a driver aid, so yeah, they got disqualified. And yeah, but what's your opinion on that race from Paris? It was really good, right?
It was. I'm just gonna say on the Renault thing, I think it's quite funny because they were reported for breaching the technical regulations and then they got disqualified for breaching the sporting regulations. I thought it was quite interesting as well, if you read up on it, how they've been using the system for years.
2015, I think.
Yeah, even Grosjean said that he used it when he was at Lotus. So kind of strange how it only came to light now. And they have confirmed that they won't reappeal, or they won't appeal, sorry, the decision of the jury, so that that verdict will stand. Quite an interesting situation. I think it came about because a former Renault employee moved to Racing Point and then brought it up there. So that's how it kind of came to light. Not the YouTube video, although maybe that helped in the evidence, but that I don't think that was the video that, or the evidence that they used to launch the protest.
The official line was that they wanted to implement such a system for their car.
Yeah.
Ask the FIA whether it was legal. And then that protest came about.
Yeah, they originally wanted to copy Renault's design and use it for their own cars, but then when the FIA told them that it wasn't allowed, then they decided that they'd launch against Renault. Racing Point had a good race in Mexico. Perez, I mean, after his disappointment last year where he had to retire from the race, I believe, because of brake issues, ironically, P7, best of the race, a really, really good race. Stroll too had a pretty decent race. I mean, I think he was out in Q1 again, but usually does a bit better in the race, and I think he was in the fight for points, but couldn't quite make it. But Perez, amazing weekend from him once again. No real surprise, to be honest, because he's displayed that sort of drive many, many times now, and it's no real surprise when he pulls it off. Great weekend for him and for Racing Point.
Well, and then I can directly say that Sergio Perez is also my driver of the weekend. Great qualifying, well, kind of great, starting P11, which obviously gave him the advantage of choosing whatever tire he wanted to choose. And also in the race, as I said, a really good race for him. So Sergio Perez is my driver of the weekend. Who would you pick?
I'm also going to go with Perez, especially in the final laps as well. Defended well against Ricciardo, who was on much fresher tires at that stage. Did a fantastic job. Just trying to think of anything else in the race I want to bring up. We've already talked about the top guys and Hamilton going well. It was really cool. I really enjoyed seeing the battle between Russell and Kubica during that race.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. We don't get to see that very often, and Kubica pulling off a pretty aggressive move on Russell during the race.
You can understand it. What do you lose? P19?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Williams as a team has a lot more to lose than Kubica as the driver, but they didn't come together, and it was a good little battle. Nice to see them get some TV time, because that's been a big rarity for them this year. McLaren as well, I mean, what a disaster weekend for them. No pace whatsoever in the race. I mean, after qualifying at the head of the midfield by quite a bit, they really fell off in the race, so that was a shame for them.
I mean, if you call that disastrous, how would you describe Haas this weekend?
Well, I mean, Haas expected this to happen. They've completely shifted focus onto their 2020 car, so it wasn't a great surprise to them or to anyone else. So I think the next three races for Haas are going to be pretty bad for them. But
with their home race.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I think Magnussen said it, that what's the point? There's three races left. What's the point in trying to improve this car when they're already struggling a lot with it? You know, just focus everything onto next year. They have the same drivers for next year. It's it just makes a lot more sense to just see out the year now, wait for that checker flag in Abu Dhabi, so they can put the season behind them, because it's been a bit tricky. But hopefully next year for them it'll be a more positive season.
Yep, and also one thing we didn't mention so far was that the torpedo striked again.
God.
In the last in the last lap, last corner. Looked a bit clumsy. He tried it. I mean, obviously you can understand him. He wanted to try something if he was so close, but he just tapped Hülkenberg into the wall. Meaning, well, in the end, it meant that the Toro Rosso, another Toro Rosso, got P9, Hülkenberg only P10. So, from a team's perspective, it worked out.
Yeah, maybe that was the strategy. but yeah, like you said, it was just a clumsy incident. Not really a corner you would expect to overtake on. I mean, Kvyat had a good run because Hülkenberg, I think, locked up into the stadium section, so he was offline through the next couple of corners. So I mean, he tried it, but it didn't work out. Picked up a 10-second time penalty, which put him out of the points. So yeah,
P11. Yeah.
So a shame for him, but I guess yeah, for Toro Rosso it worked out pretty nicely.
Exactly. So how would you rate the Mexican GP out of 10? What would you say?
Yeah, I've been kind of mulling this over. See, it was good. It was all kind of primed up to be a fantastic conclusion to the race with the different strategies. But
you waited and like do something race now. Yeah, come on, something must happen, but and somehow it didn't.
It's like we said at the start of the episode. I mean, that just comes down to the cars not being able to follow each other. But in saying that, I wasn't bored watching it. I thought it was, it was. In the moment, it was quite exciting because you weren't quite sure what was going to happen. You know, but we just didn't really get that battle that we really wish we would have had. But I mean, nevertheless, I was still quite entertained. I still enjoyed it. So I'm going to go with a 6.5 out of 10.
Okay. Yeah, I just pulled up our race ratings from previous races. Of course, you can do that on fastestlappodcast.com/stats. And I checked out my ratings for other races, how they would compare. And basically, I can copy paste your description. I wasn't bored by the race. Of course, I would have liked to have a bit more excitement towards the end of the race. But you just didn't know who would win that race. You wouldn't even know what strategy would work. You were questioning, is a two-stop strategy correct? Is the one-stop strategy better? Will the tires last? And yes, a lot of variables. And so I quite enjoyed it. Above average, obviously, I would say. And looking through our ratings, we had France as a really bad race, kind of. Then we did our episode with why is Formula One so boring or something, and
so
after
negative.
That own yeah negative and after that we had so many great races. We didn't even have a race rating of 5 after that. So yeah, and I will continue that. I'm going to give Mexico a 6 out of 10 because I quite enjoyed it. And yeah, already this weekend it's a back-to-back with the Austin race in the US, and I'm quite looking forward to it. I like that track, obviously. Still, there are many runoff areas with tarmac, but it kind of has a nice flow to it, right?
It does. A really, really great track. Of course, it'll be the 1-year anniversary since Kimi Raikkonen's famous win. And I mean, if
oh, I would have loved to see Kimi Raikkonen doing the podium celebration where Hamilton rose up to the top on his car. I would just.
I don't think they would have done that.
Raikkonen.
I don't think they would have. They probably would have just said no. Or, I mean, for our entertainment, they should have. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if this year's race is half as good as the race last year, then we're in for a great race still, because yeah, last year was fantastic, really fantastic race with that battle between Raikkonen and Hamilton. Yeah, it was really, really fun. Really enjoyed it. And yeah, I mean, Circuit of the Americas is a great track, and I think in general, people are always pretty positive about it and they say good things about it, which for a modern track is quite strange, because usually people like to criticize modern tracks, but yeah, this one obviously is a bit of an exception. So yeah, looking forward to a good weekend, and hopefully we'll get a great race with some close battles, and yeah, a really exciting one.
Absolutely. No better way to end the episode. So I'm really looking forward to the race, and we will talk about it in next week's episode. Until then, goodbye.